Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm your host, Chris Stanis, and also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. And we are hosting and putting on the 28th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference held in Seattle, February 14th through the 16th. And we're so excited. We're just a week away, a little over a week. And our theme is Radiate Loving Harmony, Unite Our World. We have special guests. We didn't have some featured presenters the past couple of years. We just made wonderful use of local presenters. It's such a wealth of knowledge and wisdom in the Seattle area. But this year we had the opportunity to bring people like Jean Shinoda Bolin and Sarah Beek and Wendy Rule is going to give a concert Friday night to open our conference. So that's going to be fabulous. Just check everything out at the Women of Wisdom website, womenofwisdom.org. And today I'm interviewing one of our workshop presenters, Rebecca Gould. She will present a workshop that is entitled Listening to Yoni, Tap into Your Sexual Muse. So Rebecca Gould is a certified holistic health practitioner, a Qigong and meditation teacher, sexual awakening for women facilitator, and award-winning author of The Multi-Orgasmic Diet. Her mission is to help women live healthier lives, step into their power, love themselves more, experience more joy, and live life to the fullest, emotionally, physically, and sexually. Rebecca is a graduate of the Heartwood Institute and the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And she's been in business as Elemental Harmony since 2007. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes. So let's start off with what brought you to do this work in this field of women's sexuality.
Yeah, good question. The sexual awakening for women work came into the mix for me, I think it was 2012 or 13, somewhere around that time. And I had already been doing a lot of heart opening work and other types of healing work, both personally and professionally. And sometime like around 2012, I started to really become aware of this teacher, Shakti Milan. And it was around the same time that I was feeling a bit sexually shut down. And so I received an email about a course she was offering, and I decided to take it and just fell in love with it and wanted to learn how to help facilitate that work with other women.
Yeah, that's great. So let's because your title, Listening to Yoni, let's talk about what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess to begin, defining Yoni would be good. So Yoni is a Sanskrit term for vulva, and it can also be, include, the womb. It's thought of as a symbol of this divine procreative energy, and it's really a place of not just creation, but a place of power and a source of wisdom, actually, if we can really connect to it and listen to what this part is trying to tell us. So the Listening to Yoni workshop is based on the work of Shakti Milan, who was my teacher, and it involves dropping into the body and going through a process, a guided meditation and guided practice, where you actually begin to tap into what is being said through your body, what Yoni is wanting and needing and asking of you.
Yeah, so this is important work. I'd love for you to share why it is and what we can learn from our listening to our Yoni.
Yeah, well, I think that, a lot of women would really benefit from a deeper connection with this part of their body, not just physically, but, energetically and emotionally too. But, female genitalia, it's internal. So, even going back to as we're growing up, it's harder to really have a clear connection with this part of your body unless you consciously make a choice to. And our sexuality and our womb space is such an important part of who we are and how we show up in the world and how we function. that doing a practice like listening to yoni, it can help, you know, it can help bring out more of a feeling of sexual aliveness, but not just sexual aliveness and clarity, but even beyond the sexual aspect of our lives and into what we want to create in the world, what we need more of to feel nourished and happy and fulfilled in general.
Yes, and so I'm talking about that because you talk about being awakened. What does that mean to be awakened when it comes to sexuality?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I think, and gosh, we may have talked about this in the past too. I don't remember now, but this idea too of like awakened versus awakening, because I often think of like awakening as more of this process and, you know, how do you know when you're actually awakened, or do you go in and out of being awakened and awakening? And for me, I think the idea of awakening or being awakened is really about consciousness, like really bringing mindfulness and consciousness and having like the clarity of truth coming through too. So not just operating in a way that we've been kind of subconsciously programmed to operate in, but really, really being like a vessel for the truth and being conscious of what we're doing and why, and being empowered to act in a way, to behave, to show up in a way that is true to ourselves.
It brings up lots of issues, I think, because in dealing with that, you coming to truth, you have to, you know, you might be, you know, a lot of shame issues or denial, or like you said, shut down, of really being honest with yourself and being willing to look at it. You know, there's so much blocking that, you know, of looking at these issues in ourselves, because it's kind of still, I mean, yeah, we're sex, drugs, and rock and roll out there since the 70s, and yet still there's this, you know, this, you know, it's kind of blatant of you know, Hollywood or whatever in movies, and yet there's still this shadow of shame and being truthful with ourselves.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I could do a whole interview on like each of those topics. But yeah, shame is a big one. And I think also a big thing that comes up for me around awakening sexuality and doing this kind of work, especially for women, is making sure that we're not just like using sex or sexuality or to manipulate or to get something we want or doing something that we think we have to do to make someone else happy. You know, like really being empowered and honest about what we do and don't want to do with our bodies, especially sexually. And even with that, with being honest about our boundaries and what we want, whether it's to have a lot of sex or to have no sex, you know, there can be shame in either of those choices. So, getting to the bottom of like what it is that is really true for you and noticing what kind of feelings come up. You know, sometimes it can feel really good right away, and other times there's guilt, fear, shame. You know, it can be depressing even at times, but it can also be really liberating.
Oh, speak more about that, liberating.
The word I love for sure. So, you know, truth will set you free, and even if first there are painful feelings or challenges to get through, you really will feel more of a sense of freedom and liberation in just being true to yourself, being who you are, knowing when you really mean yes, knowing when you really mean no, giving your body what she wants, what she needs, and learning to let go of that shame and to just really fully embrace like who you are and what you want and what would be nourishing, and knowing that that can all change too. And there's a lot of repression too. So like the liberation idea is to break free of not just the, you know, there are things that limit us that we put on ourselves, things that people we're in relationship put on us knowingly or unknowingly, things from society. So to just, you know, cut that all away and to be free of it.
Well, let's maybe get a little practical because I'm thinking, you know, let go of the shame. Well, what do you tell people?
Yeah.
What's a, you know, baby steps? What would you, how would you start to eliminate that shame, guilt? And
yeah. Oh, that's such a good question. Yeah. So with shame, you know, what shame is, the idea that there's actually something inherently wrong with us, right? So, you know, feeling bad, not just about something that we've done or not done, but about who we actually are. So I feel like a big antidote to that is self-love and self-acceptance and worth and just, you know, reminding people that they're not alone, that there are other people that experience or feel what they do, and that there's nothing inherently wrong with that, and that, you know, you have a right to be who you are, you have a right to feel how you feel, you have a right to want what you want, to not want what you don't want. So, you know, it's a combination of messages, like reprogramming ourselves through positive and true messaging, and also, you know, like self-love work, things like, you know, one of my favorite practices is like looking at yourself in the mirror, and that can be really hard for people to do at first, even, you know, like maybe it's hard to make eye contact with other people, but sometimes even with yourself in the mirror, but bringing in that self-love and acceptance can really help to dissipate feelings of shame.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, eliminating shame starts with also speaking about it. I find that,
yeah.
I see this, you know, at Woman of Wisdom, we witness each other. And being able to speak something out loud helps reduce all that around shame, letting it go.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, that's so crucial. And part of what's so beautiful about the listening to Yoni practice is that you do it. I mean, you can do it on your own, but, you know, at Women of Wisdom, I led it there a couple years ago, too, and I've led it out of my home before. And what we do is we break up into groups. So you're basically with at least a few other women, and you're sharing and you're being heard, and I've received feedback, and I experienced it myself too when I practice it, is that even just that can be so powerful and healing, to just be heard and for those other people to, you know, listen and hold space for what you have to say.
Well, I imagine too, for some people that could be scary, you know, to come to a workshop and think you have to open up and share these deep, you know, feelings you have around sexuality. It's hard to, you know, for some people to speak about it. So I imagine what's really important is for you to create a safe, which you always do at Woman of Wisdom too, to create a safe container, a safe environment for that to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, a safe container is really important. And I actually have to say that I feel like I'm really good at that. Like, it's one of my strengths. And, you know, there are some things that I could improve on, but I think I really excel with that. And it's really an honor to be able to hold that space and create that container. And one way that I like to help women feel safe with this practice in particular is that I demonstrate too. And I demonstrate not just like an authentic example of me listening to Yoni, but I also share, you know, another way that it could look or sound, you know, like it might not end up being some super vulnerable, scary thing to share. You know, it just depends on what comes up in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, another aspect that about this is you're talking about this vital life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
And cultivating that. I mean, you know, it isn't just sexual energy. It's also vital life force, which may not have anything to do with sex either.
Right. And I think that part of my interest in the sexual awakening for women work came from, you know, I had this background in Qigong, and even before it, way before that, like when I was a teenager, even getting into Reiki, like energy healing, and learning about how sexual energy is not just about sex. You know, it's this very powerful creative energy, this very powerful force, and just learning so much more about like conscious sexuality and sexual energy and how it shows up in our lives in so many different ways.
True, yes. And I think we all kind of have that desire to have that feel vitality in our lives and, you know, exist. You know,
Yeah, I like to say live turned on or live fully alive, you know, just feel that vibrancy running through you.
Well, I want to talk about, because you also have a book, The Multi-Orgasmic mm-hmm. Diet, Embrace Your Sexual Energy and Awaken Your Senses for a Healthier, Happier, Sexier You. So let's talk about that book and what that is serving, why women need what this has to do about food, too. Is sexual energy and sensuality have to do with making healthier dietary choices?
All the questions. Okay, if I leave something out, remind me. But it's perfect after what we were just talking about, because the multi-orgasmic diet, it's not even – there's barely anything about food in there. Food is like one chapter of the book. It could be retitled The Multi-Orgasmic Life. It's really about feeling that vital life force energy, that sexual energy running through you, that orgasmic energy in whatever you're doing all throughout your day. Like even if you're, you know, just going for a walk or driving in your car or washing the dishes. So to bring in that pleasure and energy of orgasm into your daily kind of mundane everyday activities. So yeah, with like food, there's just a little bit about food in the book, but the menu plan is more like a practice menu. So there are like 80 or 81 practices in the book so that people can pick and choose what they want to use. But the idea is that first I'll say it's written for two different types of audience. So one might be someone who actually does want like a diet, like wants help with not overeating or eating healthier or not emotional eating. So the practices can be something that they do, like if a craving comes on or before a meal, to help them feel really fulfilled and full of that sexual energy so that then they make a healthier choice without feeling restricted. And then the other type of reader is someone that just, you know, doesn't really care about the food diet part, but just wants to cultivate their sexual energy and sensuality. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't talked about the book in a long time, actually. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the difference of sexuality and sensuality.
So sensuality, you know, it's about senses, you know, like getting into what you're feeling physically, what you're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and just I think it's really about being embodied, like really fully embodied. And you know, in my book I talk about like how that really can enhance your life in general when you're more in your body, when you're more tuned into what you're taking in through all your different senses. You'll feel more pleasure, you'll feel more alive, you'll feel happier, you'll feel healthier, you'll make better choices with not just what you eat, but, you know, even your relationships and activities. And then, you know, sexuality is more about, you know, our sexual desires, sexual activities, sexual preferences, all of that. So you can even be asexual and be very sensual. You know, you don't have to be having sex to be a sensual person. Some people who have a lot of sex aren't very sensual, you know, like they don't always go together, although together I think they're really great together.
Well, I'd love for you to get a little personal and maybe share, you know, struggles in your own multi-orgasmic diet. It's always you know, good to have, especially in the work you do, I imagine you have to be pretty open about it for you to share, for others to open up.
Yeah, there's a lot of personal stuff in that book. I remember one time going on a first date with somebody and we went to a bookstore and he bought my book and then I never heard from him again. maybe he read too much personal stuff about me. But no, I'm just joking about that. So let's see. What is a personal story about that? Well, I think going back to like why the subject of like food and body image and emotional eating is important to me goes way back to childhood. Like I used to be really overweight and experienced a lot of rejection and ridicule because of that. And even though I lost weight, like I still had body image issues and still had emotional eating habits. So I started to think about like how can I, you know, work on that in a healthy way, like a way that doesn't feel restrictive or like there's something bad or wrong with me. And what I found was that cultivating more of the sexual energy and getting more into my sensuality was a really good way and cultivating more self-love. Those all really helped me with body image issues and with emotional eating habits. And you know, like feeling sexually shut down at times in my life, maybe because of not being partnered or maybe because of a bad experience with a partner, and just needing to find ways to kind of take my power back and for relationship experiences not to affect my capacity to feel pleasure or to feel fully alive or to feel like a sexually alive person or to have that that good relationship with like sensuality and embodiment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's I would think it would make you feel more when you're in touch with that, all those parts of yourself, you know, mm-hmm. self-love and acceptance, that there's a radiating that, you know, you're drawn to people
yeah.
who kind of have that aliveness that we're talking about, and you can be
yeah.
almost jealous of people that, wow, I want to be like her, she's so radiant. And that takes us to
yeah.
our theme, radiate loving energy. How does that fit into
right.
your workshop?
Yeah, radiating loving energy. I mean, when we're tuned in to our bodies, our sexuality, our sensuality, when we feel fulfilled, full of pleasure, full of this energy, then we do radiate it out. You know, it's not just like we feel good and it doesn't, if that's not seen or affecting other people. When we're radiating, it does affect other people. And I mean, you brought up how sometimes people might even feel jealous, but the other side of that is that it can be contagious too. You know, it can
mm-hmm.
really bring that out in people, either just immediately or maybe someone who feels kind of jealous about it, maybe after the jealousy kind of wears down a bit, they're like, okay, how can I have that now? Like, what do I need to do to feel, to exude that kind of vibrance? So I think it can be inspirational too.
Mm-hmm. That takes me back to, okay, how do you start doing that? Well, again, I know you're gonna say, well, self-start loving yourself. But for some people that can be hard, you know.
Yeah,
like,
well, I think part of the issue is that it's not just like a pill you can take, you know. I mean, I have times in my life where I'm not living turned on, I'm not living fully alive, I'm not radiating, or maybe even someone might say that I look like I'm glowing or that I have great energy, but maybe internally I don't actually feel that way. So like, a part of it is just about not giving up and to, like, you know, learn how to be more resilient, like to keep making the effort or finding ways that don't feel like effort, you know, finding easy ways to feel better and better about yourself and your life, and to cultivate more joy, to cultivate more love, to not let the struggles with it be the end of it.
Yes, I know. I just had a thought, and now it's left me. But
yeah, I mean,
just,
these are big topics.
yeah. Well, it's that. Oh, I know what it was. It's about forgiveness, forgiving yourself,
yeah.
because we probably have all done
yeah.
things in our lives, whether it's, you know, with sex or just relationships that we feel
yeah.
guilty about, and we shame ourselves. Again, back to shame, but also.
Right.
There's the element of, you know, how do you forgive yourself for
mm-hmm.
all those times that you messed up or you hurt somebody
right.
or you got hurt. And even when you get hurt yourself, we
yeah.
take on the blame. We take on the blame like it was all our fault. So there's a lot of,
yeah.
I would think, self-forgiveness work in this.
Definitely. Is there going to be a forgiveness workshop at the conference? We should do that sometime. I think that's such great work, you know.
Yes, I think we've had it in the past. It all depends what presenters bring us. We send out, just for everybody's information, we send out a call and people send us proposals and we sort through them and we see what fits and to get a diversity of topics. So a lot of times it's a topic's missing because no one has sent that topic to us to do a workshop in. So every year is a great topic.
Yeah. I mean, for lack of forgiveness and like having resentment, you know, towards other people or ourselves, that's definitely, that can be a big blockage. And it's definitely a blockage that I've had to deal with in my own life. And, you know, there are a variety of practices that I use, but, you know, a very basic one is even just journaling, writing, and again, coming back to the truth, like recognizing that like the truth is like not forgiving myself or not forgiving that person, it's just getting in the way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Writing is excellent to sort through your feelings. Sometimes it just feels overwhelming and you don't even, maybe aren't even in tune with what you're really feeling. You're just feeling not good or, you know, you just feeling bad about yourself, and when you start writing, you can kind of, you know, define it a little more. You know, just let kind of like automatic writing, just let yourself, like your hand move on the paper and write.
Yeah.
And to get it out, because your unconscious can come forward to bring it out, and you go, oh, yeah, that's what I'm feeling, and gets more concrete of this, what you things that you need to work on.
Right. Yeah, I love writing for that. And then also, you know, the type of Qigong that I teach, Shengzhen, it's all about opening the heart and unconditional love and compassion. And that's incredibly healing too. And just learning to open the heart and focus on the truth, to focus on love, you know, not to sweep things under the rug or bypass, but to really, you know, focus on what really matters and do what you need to do to move through the blockages, to be able to love yourself, to be able to get in touch with your sexuality, your sensuality, to feel the happiest, healthiest, sexiest you that you can feel, that you can be, and to be okay with times when you don't feel good, because that's natural. That's part of life. You know, we have ups and downs.
Yeah, that's true. And you mentioned Qigong, so it's like getting also a good way to get in touch with your body is to do movement. Mm-hmm. And so you use Qigong. Will you be doing some of that in your workshop?
For this one, you know, we don't really have time for that. I mean, unless we end up with extra time at the end, maybe I'd include it or like a few minutes at the beginning. But for this particular workshop, I don't usually include any of the Shengzhen or Qigong. But last year, that was my whole workshop. I did a few hours of Shengzhen, like awakening the soul, and Shengzhen healing gong. That was fun.
All right. So what can people expect if they come into your workshop?
Well, they can expect a safe container where there are other women there. And don't worry, we're not taking off any clothes. It's a fully clothed workshop. And I'll be leading a guided meditation. I'll be leading some gentle movement. And then we break up into groups and I guide you through the practice. And then there's some time for journaling and or even coloring. I bring some crayons and markers. And then there's group sharing too that's optional at the end. So, you know, it's a combination of being with the big group, being with your little group, being guided, having some time for yourself to just reflect and connecting with other women. And I think the other thing to expect is, you know, that, yeah, it might feel a little vulnerable or scary, but it is also so powerful. Like once you show up for this and do it, you feel so good that you did it, that you showed up, that you were willing to try this practice and to just be open to what your body, to what your yoni in particular has to say.
Yeah, so it sounds great, and I hope people sign up and come to your workshop because, as you said, it can be very liberating and life-changing. I mean, have you, because you've done the workshop before, what is the, I would imagine healing stories come from out of it, from women.
The first one that comes to my mind actually is a woman who I'm trying to remember. I have a testimonial from her somewhere, but it was like that she was a rape survivor, and in her relationship, I don't remember if she was married or just, you know, in a relationship, but she said that after my workshop, she felt that she was better, like her physical intimacy with her partner improved. So I thought that was very profound. I wish I could remember exactly what she said, but it was, you know, something to that effect.
Yeah, so there was a impact on her life, and you know, it's what Woman Wisdom is about, is we come here and change our lives, transform ourselves and grow and share who we are, witness other people, share our stories, and listen. You know, very important aspect to meet others and listen to their story, and we can relate, you know, we can relate to other people's stories, and we heal from hearing other people's stories too. So I'm so excited that you're going to be at the conference, and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so everybody, you can read about Rebecca. Her website is Rebecca Clio Gould. So it's Rebecca, CLIOGOULD.com. And the book will also be available at the conference. So again, check out the website, womanofwisdom.org, for all the events. Just to let you know, you can attend one day, Saturday or Sunday, or both days. And we also have a special bring a friend, and there's a combined prize. You're going to save a little money and it's such a great thing to share with a friend and come with somebody. And so there's a savings there. Like, it's not two for one, but there's a discount for two people registering together. And so check that out on our website and all that we have to offer. So I'll be back again tomorrow for the last interview of our presenters at the conference. And then we're so close. And we're looking forward for everybody to come. We have community meals together. You can also register and just spend Saturday afternoon with us in the Red Tent. Have lunch, relax, hang out, meditate, get a massage. We have a chair massage person in the Red Tent for the afternoon, and then attend one of the one-hour workshops before dinner. So that afternoon package is only $35. So if you're not available to spend the weekend, you can come spend Saturday afternoon, or also we have tickets for Saturday night just for the banquet with Jean Shinoda Bolen. So again, if you're not available during the day on Saturday, Sunday, come Saturday night for a delicious meal and Jean Shinoda Bolen's keynote talk with Gina Salah. It's going to open for her, one of our fabulous singers and musicians. So we look forward to seeing everybody next weekend, February 14th through the 16th in Seattle. So bye for now.